Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our classes on this book, Sri Bhagavat Arkamarichimala, which is a summary of the Srimad Bhagavatam done by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And there are 18,000 verses in the Bhagavatam, and he's collected about 1,200 verses here. He's condensed the whole Bhagavatam into 1,200 verses to describe the three categories of Sambandha, Avideya, and Prayojana, which means the relationship and working in that relationship and attaining the perfection of that relationship. So the relationship, Sambandha Jnana means knowledge of the relationship between the Jiva and Krishna. And Avideya means the action, or the, we say, sadhana, the action and the unfoldment of that relationship. And then the goal of that relationship is love of God, which is Prayojan. So now we start with the fourth ray, which is called, this is the beginning of the Sambandha Jnana. And it begins with Bhagavat Tattva, the truth or the knowledge about the Lord. So I wrote a small summary of the chapter. With the fourth ray, Bhaktivinoda Thakur begins the discussion of Sambandha Jnana, which means knowledge of the living entity's relationship with the Supreme Lord. He's entitled this chapter, The Science of the Lord's Characteristics, which is basically Bhagavat Tattva. This describes the truth or science about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth. The fourth ray describes the Supreme Lord. It describes Vaikuntha and Krishna Loka, describes the 22 incarnations of the Lord. And finally, the chapter ends. This chapter he calls rays. Arka. Arka means light, and Marichi means light ray. Like we go Konark. Konark is a sun temple. So Arka means sun or light. It means sun. So he concludes the chapter by describing the hidden or secret incarnation of Kali Yuga, who is actually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is non-different from Lord Sri Krishna, who is the original source of all incarnations. So this, of course, this whole chapter is describing the Bhagavat Tattva, and he's using different verses from Bhagavatam to describe that. And we're not covering all of them. He summarized the Bhagavatam in 1,200 verses, and then we're summarizing this book of 1,200 verses. There's 20 rays, and we're discussing about 100 verses. So it went from 18,000 to 1,200 to 108. So this is really condensed. It went from milk. The Bhagavatam was milk, and then it became condensed milk. Now it's burfi. Or at least that's the idea. Because otherwise, but at least I can encourage everyone to purchase this book. It's not very costly. Sri Bhagavat, Bhagavat Arka, Arka means sun, Marichi. Sri Bhagavat Arka Marichi Mala. And it says, a garland, which means mala, of rays from the sunlight Srimad Bhagavatam. It's all Bhagavatam verses describing these three subjects, because that's what's in the Bhagavatam, and that's what's in the Vedas, and that's the whole spiritual knowledge is based on these three categories, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojan. So the second text he cites in this chapter is a verse from Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 2, verse 11, which describes that the absolute truth, the tattva, tattva means truth or science, and Bhagavat means God or the Lord. The absolute truth can be understood in three different ways. And you find so many people in the world that have different angles of vision towards the absolute truth. Some people say that Brahman Satya Jagan Mitya. Jagan Mitya, this whole material world is false and Brahman is truth, Brahman Satyam. That Sarva Kalvidam Brahma, Sarva Kalvidam Brahma, that everything is Brahman. So, that's true. But then what happens is, these people that some knowledgeable people, jnanis or yogis, whatever, spiritualists, they see that, yes, God is Brahman, it's just consciousness. There's no personality. And if you try to assert that God is personality, then they say, oh, this is bogus. They can't, there's no accommodation. There's exclusivity. They exclude, they say it's Brahman but nothing else. But Lord Chaitanya's philosophy is actually the perfect synthesis, because we have thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. You say you present one position, your thesis, and then I give an opposite position. That's called antithesis, against your thesis. And then someone comes along and says, wait a minute, let's have a win-win situation. And that's called a synthesis. He takes a little bit from your position, a little bit from the other person's position, then he blends a third position, which is agreeable to all parties. So Lord Chaitanya's philosophy is perfect, and his philosophy is called Achintya Beta Tattva. Achintya means inconceivable. A beta means no difference, and beta means difference. So the English translation is that the absolute truth, the tattva, the truth, or the Godhead, or the absolute truth, is inconceivably, simultaneously one and different. But yes, the absolute truth is Brahman, but it's also, the absolute truth is also personal. Consciousness is impersonal and also personal. God is a person, but he has energies, and his energies are impersonal, although they also have personal aspects. So this is the perfection where everyone can harmonize. Everyone can harmonize to the tune of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. All the Mayavadis are saying, God is impersonal, there's no personality, he's nirupam, nirakar, nirupam, nirgun, he has no qualities, no form, no individuality. And then the Vaishnavas, they say, no, God has guna, transcendental qualities, he has transcendental form, and he's a transcendental person. So then they're always fighting, they're at loggerheads, they're fighting. No, it's one. No, it's different. So we say, no, it's one and different. So, that's very nice. A very clever philosophy. But this is really United Nations. This is really peace formula. Let everyone be happy around this philosophy. That yes, God is one and God is different. We say, Nirvishesh Brahma, Savishesh Brahma. Nirvishesh means, like you say, Vishesh. Vishesh means speciality. So, Nirvishesh Brahma means Brahman with no qualities, no special, nirvishesh, no vishesh, right? Vishesh means speciality, special qualities. So nirvishesh means no special qualities, then savishesh. Sa means with speciality, savishesh. That's not so difficult to understand. So one understanding of Brahman is that Brahman has qualities, that he has a form, he has guna, he has rupam, but he's transcendental. He's not subject to the modes of nature, the material world. So there's a verse that he's opening the chapter with to describe Bhagavat Tattva, that the Bhagavan is not one, but he's three. He has three different features. And this is a verse that describes that the absolute truth can be understood in three different levels. So it depends on which level you key in. So the Brahmavadis say it's Brahman. We say, yes, fine, you're right, correct. Soham. Soham. Soham means I. Aham means I, and so means that. I am that. I am Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi. Namo Narayan. Okay, fine. Very good. So this verse is Vedanti tattvavidas tattvam yaj gyanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavanti shabyate. He's saying, knowers of the absolute truth declare that the non-dual substance as the actual truth. The transcendental state of Brahman is the first realization of the absolute truth. The state of Paramatma, realizing the Supersoul, is further expands the transcendental state. That's the second realization of that absolute truth. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full of spiritual variegated pastimes, that means so many unlimited pastimes, is the third realization of that truth. The same absolute truth has been addressed in three different names. So it's Brahman or Paramatma. God is Brahman, God is Paramatma, and God is Bhagavan, right? Bhagavan. Bhagavan means he's possessing bhagya or opulences or variety. So he starts off the chapter like this. All right, we're going to describe God, the truth of God, Bhagavat Tattva, the characteristics. This is the fourth ray, the science of the Lord's characteristics. Well, first of all, let's understand what we're talking about. Define the Lord. The Lord has different aspects. His Brahman effulgence, his localized expansions, and then his own individuality. So then he has so many verses. He describes what is Brahman, what is Paramatma. And you can read those. Basically, I'm giving a summary of this book to whet your appetite and to give you an overview of these basic points. Because, frankly speaking, the best way to go through this book, if you want a suggestion, is that you have the Bhagavatam in front of you, Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, and also the contribution of his disciples, 10th, 11th, and 12th cantos. And then because here all these translations of these verses are different from the Bhagavatam, because those are copyrighted. And so this book was produced by some Vrindavan publishers, and if they take those translations, then they'll get sued. So the translations of all these Bhagavatam verses are different than the Srimad Bhagavatam of BBT. You may be noticed if you are familiar with any of these translations. So that's good in one sense, because it gives us a different angle of vision. Prabhupada's translating these verses in one way, and when it gets to the 11th and 12th canto, Prabhupada didn't translate those verses. They were translated by Prabhupada's disciples. So you can see this translator, who is my godbrother, Bhumipati, you can compare his translation to 11th and 12th canto to my other godbrother, Gopi Pranadan, and my other godbrother, Ridayananda Das Goswami. So it gives more richness. That's like 10th canto Bhagavatam. Prabhupada translated the 90 chapters in the Krishna book. And then he translated 13 chapters in the BBT, big fat volumes. And then he left this world. So when you study the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, you can see Prabhupada's translations from the Krishna book, and then you can compare them to his disciples. We were doing that in Juhu Beach. We were discussing Viraha Gita from chapter 39 of the 10th canto. Gopis speaking in separation before Akura took Krishna to Mathura. So the ideal way would be to read this presentation and have the Bhagavatam side by side. When it says, okay, when it refers to one verse, this verse 1 to 11, then you read this, and you read the Prabhupada's translation, and then word for word, and then the purport, and then see how this is connected to the subject of Bhagavat Tattva. And then follow progression. Because sometimes somebody asked me yesterday, how do we study Prabhupada's book? Somebody asked me that question. How do we study? How do we read? Well, this is how you study and read. You have a guideline. This book is like a teacher, like a guideline. And it's presenting the themes. Here's the specific themes. So this is the theme of Bhagavat Tattva. Now he's quoting first canto, and the next verse is third canto, then 10th canto, then 11th canto. So you have to have a big stack of books. So this is how to study the Bhagavatam. The most important book for all of us is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nashta Prayesho Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevya. It says every day, Nityam Bhagavata Sevya, every day we should hear the Bhagavatam. But if you go randomly into a temple and you sit down for a Bhagavatam class, fourth canto, eighth canto, seventh canto, it's all disjointed. It's disjointed and you can't see any connection. You got some message, the sermon of the day, and you get some good tidings for the day if the speaker is a little bit accomplished. And you may get some good ideas about sadhana and general scope of things. But this is very specific. This whole chapter, which will be like 50, 60 verses, average about 50 verses. So there's 20 chapters, about 1,000. As I said, 1,200 verses. This is 50. Well, last chapter had 60. So it's about 50. It's around 1,000, 1,100 verses. So these 1,100 verses will give you the essence of the 18,000. Of course, we want everyone to read the 18,000 verses, to read the entire Bhagavatam. But when you're asking a question, how do I study the Bhagavatam? Here's your study guide. Study guide to the Srimad Bhagavatam. You go through each ray, and you read every single verse with these translations. Then you read this accompanying verse in the Bhagavatam. And then you can also read Prabhupada's Krishna book when you get to the 10th canto. So then you get Bhumipati's translation, Prabhupada's translation. Sometimes there's two translations of Prabhupada. One from Krishna book, one from the 10th canto. And then you get the other Godbrothers. You get four different translations of the same verse. in 10th canto. You understand? So then you get a richer idea. And if you know Sanskrit, you can translate it yourself. You get 5 translations. And then there's the commentary of Srila Prabhupada in the Krishna book. Then there's the commentary in the BBD 10th canto. And then occasionally there's a commentary here. But you can see how it all fits together. This is 3, 9, 11, and then 8, 1, 15, and then 10, 2, 39, and 11, 3. Then, so he's done the homework for us. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has gone through the entire Bhagavatam. He studied 18,000 verses to present the themes of the Bhagavatam. Bhagavat Tattva, Shakti Tattva, Vaikuntha Tattva, Jiva Tattva, Prema Tattva, Rasa Tattva. Systematically. Everyone says, how can I systematically study the Bhagavatam? Here it is. And this book, he had a dream. This book was all produced by a dream. Swarup Damodar Goswami appeared to him in a dream and said, you compile this book. This book will become so important that the Vaishnavas will study it every day. They'll study this book every day. So I'm trying to initiate you in that direction. Because everyone says, oh, the Srimad Bhagavatam, 18,000 verses, and the books are this fat, and there's 18 of them, and they're this wide. This big, oh my God, forget it. It's like someone takes a sledgehammer, a tong. Oh, you can't imagine trying to read it or dissect it or digest it. But now Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he understands. This is 100 years ago. He understood how lazy people are. 100 years ago, people were very lazy. Not as lazy as all of us, but lazy. So he said, none of you will ever deal with these 18,000 verses. First of all, they're in Sanskrit and you're all Bengali. So this whole book was written in Bengali. All the verses were translated into Bengali, and with his translations in Bengali, written in Bengali script, the Sanskrit was written in Bengali script, then all the verses were translated into Bengali by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and occasionally purported, and all set up. So it's a piece of cake, as they say. It's a piece of cake for the Bengali people. So now it's all in English for the general educated class. And it's a classic book of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. It's so wonderful to study with this book. So I'm just giving an overview and kind of a shove to push you, a jump start, right? Your battery's dead. That's a fact. Your battery's dead. So get a jump start. Of course, if you want to use this book for study, you have to buy a set of Srimad Bhagavatams. And by the way, I'm selling them right here. Just like your friendly astrologer. Your friendly astrologer, he'll do your chart and he'll say, oh, you're having trouble with Chandra. And I think you should wear a pearl. You should wear a pearl ring. Oh, and by the way, I do happen to have a nice selection. By the way, I do have, just by coincidence, I do have a nice selection of pearls for you to buy. It's just by coincidence. I don't know how it is that I happen to have these gems with me. So this is their trick. Cheaters and the cheated. So this is the fourth race. So now we'll skip a few verses and we'll go to the 11th canto, chapter 3, verse 37. And this is a verse by Pipalayana Rishi to Nimi. It's Navyogendra. There was 9 rishis and they were speaking philosophy. Naitan mano vishati vag uta chakshuratma pranindriyani chayatanalam archishaswa shavdopi bodhaka nisheda tayatma mulam artoktam ahayat ritena nisheda siddhi. So Pipalayana Rishi said to the king, the Supreme Lord is one without a second. God is the source of all energies, including the material energy, which consists of the 3 material modes of goodness, passion, and goodness, ignorance, sattva, rajas, and tama. As well, the Lord is the source of the total material ingredients and the false ego. From God, all knowledge, action, objectives of life, fruits of action, temporary and eternal existence, as well as the Brahman emanate. So, of course, if we had the Bhagavatam, we could read the purport and the word for word and discuss. But this verse is simply giving a further description of the Godhead, of the truth of Bhagavat Tattva, that God is one without a second. It's called Asamordva. No one is equal to God. Sama and Urdva. No one is above. Urdva means rise or above. Asam. No one is equal to God and no one is greater than God. He's one without a second. Otherwise, he can't be God. If he has a competitor, if someone is competing with God or someone's greater than God, then he's not God. Then he's the God. He's one without a second. And he's the source of all energies. There's so much energy in the world. Light energy, wind energy. So many energies are there. Earth. Every element is an energy. It's called Panchabhuta. Earth has power. Water has power. Power means energy. Light has power. Wind has power. Bhumirapo nalo vayu. These are the energies of God. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind. Mind power, mental power. They have all these sylvan mind control and all these kind of meditation techniques. Right? Mind power, intellectual power. Then soul power. Soul brother. Soul power. Soul, the ultimate power is the soul, right? When the soul is in the body, then you can do something. The soul is out of the body, business finished. Close the factory. So this is, we read these verses, then we study the actual purports, then we go through the word for word, then we think about them, we try to understand, and we read the verses. Of course, if we're actually studying this book very properly, for example, we would read this verse, 11:3:37. So we take out the 11th canto, we open the chapter 3, we open the verse 37, and then we look at the verse and the purport. And then we see the translation here. And then we try to think, how is this related to the theme of this chapter? This chapter, the fourth ray, has a theme. The theme is Bhagavad Tattva. The science, it says the science of the characteristics, what is it? Science of the Supreme Lord's characteristics. Science of the Lord's characteristics. You can say Bhagavan Charitra Vigyan. If you want to have Sanskrit, Bhagavat Charitra Vigyan. Charitra means characteristics. Charita. Charita Vigyan. Vigyan means science. Gyan and Vigyan. And Bhagavat means God or the Lord. So it probably has that title. So now we see, how does this verse relate to the theme of this chapter? The Bhagavad Tattva. And then, when we're reading the 11th canto, we should read verses ahead of this one to get the full, it's called context. What is the development of the theme? This is chapter 3, verse 37. We should read the entirety of chapter 3. What is Pipalayana Rishi's presentation? Not only this isolated verse, which is part of our discussion and supporting and proving our theme, but read that whole chapter 3. This is verse 37 in that chapter. Read the first 36 verses. Okay, the king is asking this question, then he's bringing this argument, and what are the verses after it? That's called complete. That's called study. You want to know how to study? I'm teaching you how to study. And then you'll get a picture. You'll get conviction, you'll get clarity, conviction, understanding. And your faith will increase. Your vishwas, your faith will increase. More conviction, more knowledge, more conviction. More conviction, more understanding. More understanding, more faith. And then you go to the next verse, and the theme is 11:3:35. And now we're jumping over to the next reference point, which is first canto, third chapter, 37 and 38. Now you put the 11th canto down, and then you get out the first canto. Chapter 3. Nachasya kaschin nipanena datur aivaiti jantu kumanisha uti namani rupani manovacho bi santanvato natacharyami vagya. This is 1:3:37. This explains that the absolute truth is beyond our intellect. If you want to understand the absolute truth, you have to. Says the living entities are not wise because their intelligence is very limited. Therefore, by the strength of one's intelligence, no living entity can understand the pastimes of the Supreme Creator. Just as a foolish person cannot understand through his mind and speech the transcendental name, form, and activities of the Lord, who is playing like an actor in a drama. On text 38, this is spoken by Suta Goswami. Suta Goswami is speaking to the sages at Naimisharanya, at the beginning of Kali Yuga. So the sages are headed by Shonaka. Text 1338. Saveda dattu paravimparasya tarantavirayasya ratangapane yomayaya santataya nuvritya bhajeta tatpada saroja gandham. Only, so first he sets up this verse. Suta Goswami says, not by your brain power you can understand God. Not by your intellect, although we're so proud. Look, I made a cell phone. There's Parakhi above, Swaki above, and Noki above. In Sanskrit, Kia means belonging to. Swakia means belonging to me, my wife, Rukmini, Satyabhama, Swaki above, conjugal love. Then there's Parakhi above, belonging to another. That means illicit love of Krishna and the gopis. The gopis are married to other men, so they belong to some other person. And then they say in French, amour and par amour. You've heard this word, amour. Amour means lover, and par amour means extra one. Additional, one plus one. Adika, adika prem, extra prem. Adika, adik, you say adik. Adik mas, you heard? Adik mas means extra month. Adik premi. Adik premi, extra lover. Shh.
Buy one, get one free.
Buy one, get one free. But don't tell. Don't tell the first one you bought about the free one. So Nokia. So belonging to me, belonging to another, and belonging to no one. Nokia. Nakia. 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 Belonging to no one. That's the best. So everyone's in Nokia Bhav. But we're trying to develop Parakhiya Bhav in Braj. This is a new joke that came up yesterday. I'm just giving it some airtime. Nokia Bhav. So this verse. So now Suta Goswami is telling Shonaka Rishi and all the Rishis at Naimisharanya, listen, boys, you think you're smart. You're big, smart sages, huh? So many rishis, all big, long jata, like this rishi, long jata. Jata is long, big sika. So many big beards, big rishis, right? Coming from Poland, Punjab, Sindh. And you're all gathered here at this place, Naimisharanya. And you think, I'm very smart, I'm Chaturvedi, Mahamandaleshwara, Shastra Shiromani, Chaturvedi, Mahamandaleshwara, Ekazar At, Sri Shimad, Bogananda Swami from Hardwar. Ekazarat. Ekazarat is cheap. Ekazarat is small time yogi. Dasazar. Dasazarat. Dasazarat. 10,008. Mahamashri Shimad. Shastra Shiromani Chaturvedi. Shastra Vipun. Etc. I think I'm very smart. And Suta Goswami says, you can't understand the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Then what will they say? Then Shonaka will say, natural next question is, well then, how do we understand? So then he says, Naveda Dattu Padavim Parasya. He says, only one who always sincerely worships the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord with love and devotion, Bhaktimama Vijanati. Only one who worships love, he can understand the supreme position of the Supreme Creator, the personality of Godhead, who carries the wheel of a chariot in his hand. So this is, what is this? It's also describing a Leela right here. The very verse itself is saying, the previous verse says, you can't understand the Leelas of the Lord, who is playing like an actor in a drama. This Leela means drama, like the Rasa Leela. Rasalila, chapter 29 through 33. This is called Rasa Pancha Adhyaya. Adhyaya means chapter. Pancha means five chapters of the Rasa dance. Many acharyas, when they comment, they say these are five scenes. These are five scenes of the drama. Scene one, scene two, scene three. These are five scenes. Five acts. Five acts. Each chapter is an act. And Krishna's the Nayak. He's the Nayak, the hero. And the gopis are the Nayaka, the heroines. The heroines. So this is drama. Krishna's Leela is drama. Action-packed. Action-packed. Romance. Violence. Killing. Illicit activities. And then there's getaway scenes and chase scenes. It's all there in Krishna Leela. Right? Fast chariots. Throwing Rukmini on the chariot. Going around. Running down the road 100 miles an hour. Very fast. So it's action-packed. So how can you understand? Only someone who worships Krishna, he can understand. And then even concludes that answer by saying, what Krishna? That Krishna who's holding the wheel of a chariot in his hand. That's a Leela itself. He's describing, he's saying, Duranta virayasya ratanga pane. Pane, pane means hand in Sanskrit. Pani. Sarvato panipadam tat sarvatokshi shiromakam. There's a verse in Gita where Krishna says, everywhere my hands and faces. Sarvato panipadam tat. Pani padam. Pani, sarvato panipadam tat. Pani means hand, padam means foot. So everywhere my hand and legs, eyes and faces. Mukam, shiro mukam. His head and his face, eyes. Turanta virayasya ratanga pane. Ratanga, rath. Rath anga. Anga means part, means limb. Ratanga is a way of saying wheel. Ratanga. So if you only know a little, don't know the actual scene. If you translate this, rath anga, ratanga means a part of a chariot. Rath means chariot. Rath, Rathyatra, you know? Jagannath Puri, Rathyatra. Rath means chariot. And Anga means part, limb. This is my Anga. Tribangi. Tribanga, Krishna's Tribangi. His limbs are bent in three places, right? His waist and his leg, his waist and his neck. So, Ratanga means the chariot wheel. That part. He's holding that in his hand. Virya, virayasya. Virayasya means viraras. This is one of the rasas. In Kshatriya, is a chivalry. Virya. So this is one of the gona rasas in that nectar devotion. There's mukiras. So the mukiras, what is the mukiras? The mukiras is Sakyabhav. Sakyabhav. And who are the members of that ras? Arjun and Krishna. And Sakya means a friendship. And what's happening? Bhishmadeva is shooting his arrows. He's going to kill Arjun. It's Kurukshetra battle. You've seen on the television, Mahabharata, you saw?
Yes, ma'am.
You ever read the book? No. I saw on the TV. And so Bhishma is shooting his arrows to kill Arjuna. He took a vow. And then Krishna, and Arjuna's chariot was broken. So Krishna jumped off the chariot and took that broken chariot wheel, Ratanga. And Virya, he showed his chivalry. He showed his heroism. Why? This is a secondary rasa, which is in context of the primary rasa. The primary rasa is friendship. I have to protect my friend. He's going to be killed by Bhishma Pitamaha. So Krishna grabbed that chariot. Hey! And he ran after him. Then Bhishma was shooting arrows at Krishna. The arrows are striking Krishna's chest and blood is coming. And Vishnu Chakravarti said that Krishna felt like, oh, these arrows are nectar. This is nectar. And Vishnu was saying that Krishna felt that those arrows of Bhishma were as pleasing as the biting of a lover when a lover bites the neck of her lover in the intimacy of conjugal pleasure or amorous affairs. So those arrows being piercing the skin, piercing Krishna's chest, and blood is coming. Yes, more, more. Nectar, ecstasy, anand. Because this Krishna was relishing his relationship with Pitamaha, with his father, grandfather, Bhishma. Bhishma was expressing his love that way, and Krishna says, yes. So this is, who can understand? Only one can understand. Who can understand the supreme position of the supreme creator? Only one who worships Krishna's lotus feet. Pujaita tatpada saroja gandham. Saroja gandham. It was very fragrant. It's a very fast translation. This has been done of this verse, actually, because they're the translator's being paid. So he's translating quite fast. Vajeta tatpada saroja gandam. It's saying that one should worship, it says, the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord with love and devotion. Thus, gandam means very fragrant. Saroja gandam. Krishna's feet are so fragrant because they're called lotus feet. Why are they called lotus feet? He doesn't have toes, he has petals. He doesn't have a the color is like, the bottom is like a pink lotus and the top is like a blue lotus. So the color is like a lotus and they're soft like a lotus. And they have a beautiful design. They even say his toes are like petals. Petal-like toes. Petal means the parts of the lotus flower called the petal. So his toes are, the shape of his toes is like so beautiful. Finely shaped. The shape of his feet is very beautiful, resembling the beautiful shape of a lotus petal. The shape, the color, and then the fragrance. Do your feet smell like lotus flower? When you put them inside your sneakers and run around all day? Something different. Something extraordinary. We have a phrase in English called stinky feet. So not Saroja Gandam. Bajeta Tatpada Saroja Gandam. Saroja Gandam. What? These feet are so fragrant. They smell like lotus flowers. And what is the effect of those lotus feet? Lakshmi Devi, she carries a lotus in her hand. Have you ever seen a deity of Lakshmi Devi? You've seen? You've gone in some Birla temple and seen Lakshmi Narayan? What's in her left hand? Lotus flower. And what does that symbolize? The lotus flower is a symbol of fortune. Lakshmi means fortune. Everybody wants fortune. And they think fortune means money. The wheel of fortune. So this lotus flower symbolizes fortune. So one who meditates on Krishna's feet, and then those lotus feet enter his mind and enter his life, and his life becomes very fortunate. That's another meaning of Krishna's lotus feet. When you meditate on his feet, then your life becomes very fortunate and very happy. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Shri Bhagavat Tattva ki.
Jai.
Shri Harinam Sankirtan ki.
Jai.
Shri Tota Gopinath Prem Darshan ki.
Jai.
Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Jai.